This morning I'm going to be reading the scripture lesson, and the scripture lesson is found in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Very, very familiar passage of scripture to us. One of my favorite passages in the scriptures. And we're going to use that in thinking about what it means to belong to God. And it's the parable of the lost son. Luke 15, 11 through 24. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while it was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands as truth forever and ever. Amen. Loving God, we come in these moments. We pray, Holy Spirit, just come in a powerful way into our hearts and lives, that we might understand, that we might see, that we might spiritually see the truth that this passage has for each one of us individually, that you might speak into each individual's heart about what belonging means, but most of all might see who you are, Father, an incredible Father, full of love and compassion and mercy. Help us to see it. In Christ's name. Amen. How do I go on? I've had that question asked of me when someone has just gone through immense hardship, immense difficulty, painful experience, and I've had the question asked, "Pastor, how do I go on? How do I go on?" And it's a question that maybe comes up in our own lives, you know, because life is hard. Life is hard because everything's broken. We've spoken about that truth from the scriptures, and at times that hardness of life breaks in on us in very real ways. Very real ways. The death of a loved one. An accident. A diagnosis. A broken relationship. A deep loss. A failure. A mistake. A rejection. And the weight of that comes on us. And in the midst of that, you can feel all so all alone. It could feel like nobody else understands what I'm going through. Nobody else even understands the depth of my pain. And you can feel alone. You can feel so lonely. It's as if nobody is there. And so where does strength come from? Where does strength come from to go on in the midst of the hard things in life, the hard places, the difficult places? Where does that strength come from? You know, at times, maybe we might think that strength could come through wealth and luxury. If you have enough stuff, maybe that will see you through. And yet we know that that's not true. Maybe at times we turn to a substance or something that can help us to face the next moment, to face the next hour. But that substance eventually leaves us empty. And it's really not what's needed to face that hard stuff. Maybe we think if we were physically healthy enough, we could face the hard things of life and it's never going to happen to us, and we charge forward, and yet we know that's not true. My own life, I try to pay attention a lot to that, but I'm also aware that at times there's been stories of the greatest runners in the world who are so physically fit that puts me to shame, and they'll die of a heart attack. Some underlying condition that was never even known about. So that's not the answer. And so sometimes we turn to people, and people are a great gift. Friends are a great gift. Powerful to have a person that comes alongside of you. It seems like if a person or a friend or a family member can come alongside of you, that the pain is cut in half, it seems like. A joy becomes double. A pain is cut in half, the old saying goes. And yet there are times that the friends, you know, they're not there. They can't be with you 24/7. And so you can still feel alone. So alone. And sometimes even, especially in our Western culture, we think amusements and distractions, that'll help us if we can just go on the endless vacation. We can forget about all the trials and the difficulties of life, and yet that's not true either, because they're there. They don't leave because we've taken a vacation. So where does strength come from? And I'm going to think of that, I want to think of that in terms of looking together at Scripture mainly, but the way the Heidelberg Catechism frames it is in such a powerful, powerful way. What is my only comfort in life and in death? Now, when we hear that word comfort in our day and age, we have a different picture of it. You know, my picture of comfort is sitting in the hot tub at the Marriott, and everybody's serving me. Isn't that our picture of comfort? We everything's easy for us, and we're all taken care of, and we don't have any needs or wants, and we're all cared for. But when the Heidelberg Catechism was written, the word comfort had a very, very different nuance and meaning. And it came from Latin. And if you take the second part of that word, F-O-R-T, the fort, fortress, means strength, means power. And the first part of that, the C-O-M, the com, means alongside. So in other words, this means, fortis means strength, come means alongside of. So in other words, it is someone or something that can come alongside you to give strength to face the brokenness of life. And when the Catechism asks the question, it talks about only, not in the sense that friends don't matter, you know, that they're not important. No, only means the one thing or person that's for all times, all places, 24/7. Someone coming alongside you to give you the strength to face the brokenness of life. And I believe that there are four things that are talked about in that answer. The first one today we're going to look at, the sense of belonging. Belonging. You are never, ever, ever alone. Never alone. You can be rejected or abandoned by people, but you belong body and soul and life and death to God. That's what we're going to look at today. That sense of belonging is what gives you strength to face the brokenness of life. Next week, we're going to look at freedom. The third week, we're going to look at being cared for. And the last week, we're going to look at inner assurance. But today, we're going to look at belonging. And I want the picture of belonging to come to us from this parable that Jesus told in Luke 15, 11 through 24. Because we're going to see an amazing picture of belonging. You just think about it. As the story begins that Jesus tells, there is the belonging. The sons are with the father in a home. And the sons have all the benefit of home, all the benefit of the father's wealth. They have food and drink and shelter and clothing and the father's love and care. And they really have everything they need in this home. There is that sense of belonging. You see, the same is true for us. The same is true for us. We are created by God. We are created by God to be in a relationship with Him. And at the very beginning, God created humankind. And they're in that relationship of trust. God creates and loves. And there's a relationship there, face-to-face encounter. We see with Adam and Eve, that great relationship. And all that we were asked to do was to trust God, to trust Him. And when we trusted Him, we have that relationship, that belonging. We have a home. But you notice in the story, in the parable, there is the leaving. It's almost like he's a restless wanderer. He says to the father, "Give me my share of the estate." Now, let's understand what that really means. When the son says to the father, "Give me my share of the estate," typically, that's only given when the father dies. That was the norm. That was the principle. So do you hear what the son is saying? The son is saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me my money. Give me my share of the estate. I don't like it here. I want to run my own life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to live. And living is out there. It's not here." I always think of the story of Cain and Abel in the midst of this, where Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's sons. And, of course, they came into this whole dissension and jealousy. And Cain got so jealous of his brother Abel that he took his life. And the judgment upon Cain is in Genesis 4:12. It says, "You will be a restless wanderer on the face of the earth." A restless wanderer. What a great picture of people in their lostness. They're restless wanderers. They just can't find home. They just can't find a spiritual place of acceptance and a place that they could call home. And so he wants to leave. And he turns his back on the father and leaves. You know, that's our story too. That's our story too, isn't it? God created you and me in His own image to have this relationship, and in our brokenness and our sin, we turn our back on God and think life is out there somewhere. That somewhere out there is true living, where we can do what we want to do when we want to do it. And we wander away. We are really restless wanderers. Wandering here and wandering there, trying to find life. And sometimes it's almost like we're on a donkey looking for a donkey. as one story tells it. This person who wanders all over the world riding a donkey looking for a donkey. It was right there all the time. You know, the home, the relationship, the belonging is right here all the time, but we wander away looking for it. That's us. We leave it. And it says in verse 13 that he set off for a distant country, where it says he squandered his wealth, and while living, the older son, whose story we didn't read today, which is equally a story of being lost, even though he stayed home. The older son said he wasted it on prostitutes. You know, we can fill our lives in this wandering with success and wealth and drug-induced peace or physical fitness or people-pleasing or relationship after relationship or shopping. Online shopping is awesome. You can fill your life with that, and it becomes a place you think you're going to find it. And we move farther and farther away from God. Farther and farther away. And we're really looking for love. I love that. It seems like every time I say I don't, country western's not my favorite, but every time I have an illustration, it's a country western song. It seems like, I don't know why that is. 1980, Johnny Lee sang this song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." Isn't that us at times? In our lostness, in our brokenness, we look for love in all the wrong places. Where the Son was the same way, love was here with the Father. Love is here for us with God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's where love is, but we wander away. We look for love in all the wrong places. And we end up disillusioned. And we end up hurt. And we end up in despair. And we end up lonely. And we see the loneliness here. He didn't find love, this son. There was no belonging. We see that after he squandered his wealth, he needed to earn some money, and nobody, now that he didn't have any money, nobody cared for him anymore. When he had the money and was spending it like crazy, you can about imagine, everybody was his friend. It was a good time. Now he's out of money and... you're a loser. We don't want anything to do with you. And so he needed to eat, and so he hired himself out to a pig farmer so he could eat. And there he is in the pen with the pigs, and desiring to eat what they eat. And he felt all alone. All alone. And in the brokenness of our lives, and brokenness in that relationship with God, and the brokenness in our relationship within our own selves and with others, there are those times when we feel so, so lonely. So lonely. And life is hard, because everything is broken. And where are you going to find the strength in that? Where are you going to find the comfort? And you can look for it in the distant country and somewhere other than God. You can look for love in other places other than God. You can go to the far country. You can be that restless wanderer over the entire earth. Just like he did. But in verse 17, we notice. Notice what it says in verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." When he came to his senses, you see, he's beginning to turn. He remembered what it was like at home. And he's coming to his senses. He's turning. In our lives, the Holy Spirit's working. Came to realize that I'm powerless, I'm helpless. You see, it's not only about addictions and the 12-step programs where that first step is to admit you're powerless and you're helpless. It's the first step towards healing. But it's really in all of life. I am helpless to face my own life. I am helpless to face the difficulties, the trials, and the tough stuff of my own life. I am helpless. I need help. I need God. I need a spiritual place of belonging. And this is what the son was beginning to realize. And he began to turn. And he began to turn and continue to turn and turn. And he began to realize that he could not do this on his own. He was helpless, powerless. He said, "I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm going to turn and go back to God. I'm going to go back to God. I need God. I need a spiritual place of belonging." And so he's got this whole plan that he's going to do. He's going to confess all his sins to the Father and what he did. And he wants just to be a servant, and he doesn't want to be a son anymore. Just let me be a servant. At least they eat better than what I was doing down there in the far country, eating with the pigs. And notice what happens in the homecoming. But notice too, in this illustration here, the Father doesn't change his position. He doesn't change his position to you. Just because there might have been moments in your life when you did turn your back and you wandered away looking for love in all the wrong places, notice the Father never changes. Notice in the parable, he was watching. And you can imagine the Father every day sitting out there in his home watching, waiting for the Son to come back. And it says, when he did see him, a long way off, he had such great compassion on him. And the son has all these things, "Father, I've sinned against heaven." But the father says, stop, I know. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. That was unexpected. And maybe it's unexpected for us too. When we have gotten to that place of extreme loneliness and we've looked for love in all the wrong places and we turn and we come back to God and we want to beat ourselves up and we want to pound ourselves into the ground, God the Father says, "Shh, now put a robe on. Put a ring on the finger. Let's have a feast and celebrate. You've come back. This is home. This is home. This is where you belong in that relationship with me. This is where you belong." The source of strength. We face the difficult things in life is to know that we belong to God. We belong to God, and He never turns His back on us. He's waiting, hoping, with great compassion. That principle, that source of strength, you belong to God, is just really powerful in Isaiah 43:1. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, And you can fill in your own name right there. He who created you, and put your name there. He who formed you, put your name there. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You are mine. This one who created the entire universe. And when you go outside and you look at night and you see the stars and you can see the moon, or during a sunrise or a sunset, and you see the clouds, you see the power and the majesty of this great universe, the very one who created that universe created you and knows you by name. Knows you by name. Just think about the incredible nature of that. This God who is so big and mighty and powerful knows my name. Knows who I am. And wants me home. He wants me. Because I belong to Him. I belong to Him. And we might doubt that, and we might say, oh, I don't know, you know, after all the things I've done in my life and all the mistakes I've made and the sin and the guilt and the shame and all that stuff, I don't know. I think God would be ashamed of me. God doesn't want anything to do with me. Well, then we need to remember who God is. Who God is. Genesis 17:7. Genesis 17:7. And I goofed it when I printed it, so it says 7:17, but it's 17:7. Genesis 17:7, a powerful verse that I want to leave with you today for you to think about. God is talking with Abraham and talking about his covenant, his promises, and all of the things that go with that. And in the midst of that, He says, Abraham, remember this. Remember this. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants. It's an everlasting covenant. It means it goes forever. God says, I will be your God always. Always. Always I will be your God. That's where we belong. Even when you feel lonely, even when you walk away from God, in those times God is watching and waiting. And I will be your God. Always. You're not alone. So when you're going through the hard thing, the difficult thing, remember God's promise. I will be your God. Always. Always. I created you. I made you. You don't have to fear. I redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. I know your name. You're mine. You belong to me, says God. You belong to the God who created the universe. And this God we see in the parables like a father who loves, who gives covenantal hugs, who celebrates your trust. This is the source. This is the source of strength when you face the brokenness of life. It's the God who created the universe, who loves you, who holds you, and you belong to Him. And you have a home. And you're never alone. Never alone. Never alone. He's by your side.